Welcome back to Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of our program, Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero delivered his 11th State of the City address last night. The speech was entitled Accelerate Lansing, and it was held at the NioWave radioisotope production facility near the Capital Region International Airport. The speech was a follow-up to the State of the City report issued to the City Council in January. Bernero's remarks touched on topics like the idea of selling City Hall, an expected surplus in the coming fiscal year, and a new sister city relationship with Flint. Joining us to analyze Mayor Bernero's remarks and the reaction to them, Lansing State Journal reporter Eric Lacey. Welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me on. I'm amped to be here.
All right. Well, we're amped to have you. Before we get to the initiatives and priorities in the address, at least a couple of members of the City Council, Carol Wood and Jody Washington, skipped the speech, apparently because of the venue, NioWave. Can you explain what's going on there?
Yeah, if some people remember, in the Walnut neighborhood of Lansing, right off of Oakland there, near Old Town, NioWave has their headquarters, and a lot of folks in the neighborhood over there. Part of the reason why I know this is because for a while I lived over there when I came back to Lansing about a year ago. They were really upset with NioWave because they built their headquarters at the old school over there. I think it's Walnut School. And what they did was they built an addition, and a lot of the folks in the neighborhood say it looks like a pole barn, and the addition still looks the way it does. And NioWave received some tax credits, and part of the deal during my reporting, I found this out, and a lot of other folks did too. They were supposed to fix the facade, and to this point, they never have. And so a lot of the council members, like the ones you mentioned, were really upset with the city about those tax breaks for NioWave, and NioWave still got the tax breaks, yet, like I said, they didn't fix the facade. And so the fact that the State of the City was at the other NioWave headquarters, I know, upset some, especially Carol Wood. I reached out to her about that. So that's where that is, and it doesn't look like NioWave will get those tax credits rescinded because it got up to the State Tax Commission, and, you know, we move on, apparently. There's not a whole lot that can happen now, I don't believe.
Council member Jessica Yorko attended the speech last night, but afterwards she posted to her Facebook page a note defending the T-shirt that she wore to the event. It said, NioWave lies, !! Fix the facade, !! Is there any indication that the mayor knew that he would face resistance for holding the address at NioWave? Do you know anything about that?
You know, to my knowledge, he's a pretty clever guy, so I would have to imagine that he knew that there were some people that would be upset about it. But I will say that, and I did reach out to Jessica on Facebook afterward, and, you know, she did tell me that she had some folks that say, asking her, you know, wondering why she was wearing the shirt. I will say that there were a couple other people from the Walnut neighborhood that wore a couple of shirts as well that were in the crowd, but they didn't cause any disturbances or anything like that. So, I would have to believe that Virge must have known. I know for a while there, Jessica, from what I saw, had a jacket on, so it wasn't like she had that shirt just in plain view during the whole speech.
Understood. So, yeah. You led your coverage with news of a new position that Mayor Bernero wants for the city, Housing Ombudsman, which sounds very important, and word of a new program that is apparently related to that, the Block-to-Block Program, or B3. What's that all about?
Well, a lot of the details, I think, still need to be worked out, but Mayor Bernero said that he wanted to create that program, the B3, to try to cater to different neighborhoods throughout the city. I think that, to be honest with you, that's easier said than done. I think all need to know more details about that. And with the Housing Ombudsman, from what I can tell, it would be a position that would kind of be a liaison with the Greater Lansing Housing Commission. And from what I gathered last night, maybe deal with like landlord-tenant issues and things like that. Based on my experience, I can tell you that I lived in a rental home in Lansing last year when I first got back to Lansing, my wife and my newborn daughter and I. And I can tell you in the neighborhood I was in that Walnut neighborhood, for example, there's a lot of different kinds of homes. There's a lot of older housing stock there. And I think it's my hope, being a Lansing native, and the hope of others, that something like a housing ombudsman will look into those issues and look into details with how landlords do their business and things like that. But that being said, you know, he's going to bring present his budget next week, and we should know more then, hopefully. And then ultimately, it's up to the council to decide what they want to do. I want to remind folks that it was last year when Bernero proposed an inspector general for the BWL,
right?
And we know that never happened. So I would say don't get your hopes up. But at the same time, I think it's an interesting position that could do a lot of good.
Well, it seems to be some kind of outreach to the neighborhoods, and it signals making the neighborhoods a priority. And we can assume that there will be that will be an item in the budget with a dollar amount attached to it. Eric Lacey covers the Lansing City Hall for the Lansing State Journal. We're discussing last night's State of the City address by Mayor Virge Bernero. The idea of selling City Hall was raised again. He explained that the current City Hall would be put on the market and city operations would move into the former Lake Trust Credit Union headquarters building on South Capitol. Here he is.
We would sell the existing City Hall site, a very marketable location with vast potential for reuse, located directly across from the state capitol. It's one of the most desirable parcels in the city. The proceeds from the sale of the old City Hall can be put toward the construction cost of the new City Hall.
Tell us more about this proposal. This idea has been one variation or another of this idea has been in circulation for a while. Does the idea have traction with the city council?
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to. I know for a lot of city employees, I think they'd be all for it. I think for a lot of mayoral appointees, like department heads, they'd be all for it because they spend the most time in the building. I can tell you, of all the council members, I think Carol Wood probably spends the most time in the building because she goes full force, you know, treats it like a full-time job. Not to discount what the other council members do, but you know, when I call, she's in that office all the time. So I think maybe she would be more passionate one way or the other about moving City Hall. But for the other folks, I can tell you, like, some of the department heads, they work 9 to 5 in there. They've told me they got to take an elevator up and sometimes be next to somebody in shackles that's going up to the court over there, 54A. I mean, it's a weird, logistically, it's really weird how that building is kind of laid out. And the fact, you know, there's one metal detector, there's one entrance. You could have the mayor walking in at the same time. Somebody's about to get sentenced in the court. It's kind of strange. It's weird. You know, I can vouch for the fact that I've seen cockroaches in the bathroom up there and things like that. It's an old place. And if they could move out of there, I think it'd be a good deal. But I think ultimately, you know, where's the money going to come from? How are you going to sell the current City Hall? I know they tried to sell it before. To, I think, the state Senate for their offices, and that didn't work out. But like Verge said last night, he thinks that, you know, to maintain this current City Hall would take maybe 50 to 60 million, and that for about half the cost, they could move to Lake Trust. So we'll see. You know, on the other side of things, too, he talked about regionalism. So, you know, I think at some point, I think anybody who's associated with 54A court would want to get out of there too, get out of that whole complex. Because when I covered the lawsuit trial for former council member Aileen Bowles last week, the judge who came in from Livingston County was publicly complaining about the setup in that whole building, wondering about internet access, wondering about, is this the only way in this place or what?
How about that?
You know, there you go. So there's a lot of issues. And again, one of those things which sounds great, you know, in a speech, but at the same time, more will be revealed and more needs to get done for that to happen.
Bernero also touched on Lansing's relationship with Flint. The Board of Water and Light has begun helping Flint remove lead water lines. Last night, Flint Mayor Karen Weaver and other officials joined Bernero in signing an agreement making Flint and Lansing sister cities.
This agreement formalizes a new partnership that will involve a number of organizations and individuals, including those in education, business, healthcare, the arts, and other endeavors.
What do we know about this arrangement? What does it mean exactly, Eric?
Well, what we do know is Mayor Bernero said last night that with this sister cities agreement, this would be the first city in Michigan to be a sister city to Lansing, technically on paper. and that
we've got sister cities around the world, but right. we don't have any in Michigan.
Right, I think we have one in Japan.
Yeah.
But what he did mention is that some organizations and groups, maybe in the fields of education, the arts, things like that, could share resources, maybe put together some initiatives. So, again, something that sounds great, but is this just politics and just timeliness, you know, at hand here because of the Flint water crisis, because of things like that, or is this something that's really going to bring about real action? Again, we'll have to wait and see.
Mayor Bernero strongly supported the plan to build a new Board of Water and Light substation on the north edge of Rio Town on the site where the historic Scott's House now stands. Let's listen to those remarks.
Building this substation is vital to decommissioning the coal-fired Eckert Power Plant. It must be built, and the selected site at the entrance to Rio Town is the optimal location. It is the place. I fully support moving the house at Scott Park to a different location and allowing qualified private investors to renovate it if they wish.
Now, the site, though, has faced opposition from those who would preserve the Scott House where it is. How do you think this might play out? How much opposition is there to this?
That's a great question. And honestly, I really don't know. You know, I don't know. And as far as the process of moving the house, you know, how much is it used? I know there's that women's museum over there, which is a great asset, but how many people go to that women's museum over in that area too, off 496? And again, not to disparage the women's museum, but you know, I've seen renderings of the substation. I know there's plenty of people out there that like it. And the fact is that I think the bigger issue is Eckert's going to have to go offline in about 5 years. I've actually got the pleasure of touring inside the Eckert plant, coal-fired plant. You know, and they need to find options. And, you know, I think it's part of a bigger piece of BWL and the city's power plan in trying to prepare to put Eckert offline. So, you know, for a lot of folks, I can understand that they appreciate their history, and I respect that. But at the same time, I think a lot of folks wouldn't want to see their rates going up either if BWL and the city don't provide any other options out there, and then we just kind of wing it for the next 5 years with Eckert. Knowing we don't know what the political climate's going to be, we don't know what EPA standards are going to be like down the road. And who knows? We could have a president that wants to shut down the EPA for all we know.
We have less than a minute, but I do want to ask you about the severance arrangement involving ex-city attorney Janine McIntyre. You reported on this earlier in the week. Yeah. We had Jody Washington on our program yesterday at this time expressing all kinds of doubts about this. Tell us what you know about that briefly here, if you could, and where do you think this might be going?
Yeah, Mayor Bernero and the city attorney, Janine McIntyre, the former city attorney, signed a legal agreement. I don't anticipate any real details coming out about what happened. Why did she get the over $160,000? At the same time, city council is, I think, at least most of them are going to try as hard as they can to try to get answers. Even Monday night, they contemplate the idea of hiring outside legal counsel to put pressure on the Bernero administration and its legal counsel, Dyke & Magasset, the firm they used during the McIntyre separation agreement negotiations, to find out what's going on. But you have council members like Patricia Spitzley that publicly have said, you know, I think it's just good money following bad money, and I don't think we should be doing that. So again, another one of those stay tuned things. I'd highly doubt the city is going to get outside legal counsel because the city, interim city attorney or deputy city attorney advised them Monday night not to do it.
Lansing State Journal reporter Eric Lacey covers city government in Lansing, Lansing City Hall. Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.